Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome to Three in the Key.
There you go.
The denial by Ibaka. But here's the thing. As Ibaka runs the floor, the jumper. And it's good. He gets the denial and the friendly roll, and the crowd erupts.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
That's toughness, you know. We needed to become a tougher team, you know, and I think this helps us.
With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Dave Tripp. And Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
We're back and redder than ever, baby.
Feels good.
That's right. Is Dave like, what do you call those people with the glass ball?
Prognosticator of prognosticators. Nostra friggin' Davis over here.
Oh, yeah.
Davis. Boogie Nostradamus. Gets moved, folks.
He calls it at the end of the show last week, and then we put up the show that
people.
Day.
I talked to some
your
people.
Your sources are very strong.
It was crazy. Because like, I said, I was like, I don't think Boogie's going to be traded because they already said they weren't going to trade him, and I trusted Sacramento. Like, I thought I was with them all the way, and you were like, know what? It's going to happen. They're going to pull the trigger, and you were right. I can't believe it.
I love it. It feels good. You know, the big question now is, does Orlando regret not pulling the trigger? Because you could have had a superstar, and they balked, and I balked at them balking, and that's what told me Boogie was on the way. And, you know, now you got to live with that, because I hope New Orleans looks real good from this trade. I'd really love to see that front court do some damage.
I don't think, again, it's not Orlando doing it. Well, I mean, because they got pushed away because of Boogie's agent saying that, hey, you know what, he's not going to re-sign, so don't even bother pulling the trigger on it. And that made it tough for Vlade. And apparently even had a better table or trade on the table from New Orleans, not even just Orlando. So
I feel like a coach Frank Vogel, though, might be able to like inspire Boogie into some really good basketball.
He's been in a
dumpster fire for his whole career in Sacramento.
Seven coaches, I believe.
What's that?
I think he's had seven coaches in his 6.5 years.
I like Mike Malone there, but I don't think he's had a really good coach since Cal back in Kentucky. You're going to Frank Vogel in Orlando, you'd be doing really well. But you know what? Alvin Gentry. Gentry's a great coach, too.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. It's funny because now I'm already thinking, like, now the Pelicans have already lost twice in a row. I mean, they've been looking okay. It's like they're putting numbers up, and there's no one else around them. Holiday and then the big guys from Kentucky, that's it. It's funny how I'm thinking, okay, are they going to flip maybe Boogie and maybe get a better return than obviously what Sacramento got? Or
you'd have to think they would.
Definitely.
No. I don't think so. I think they traded for DeMarcus to keep
him
to play alongside Anthony Davis, because we haven't seen two big guys play alongside each other, two 20 and 10 guys, since David Robinson and Tim Duncan. And by the way, can I just say that I love the nickname that they have, Fire and Ice?
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
That's rad.
Fire for Boogie, Ice for Anthony Davis.
I like Boogie and Brow.
And Brow is cool.
It's pretty
but
good.
Fire and Ice is a nice one too.
Why? What's the implications for that? What do you mean Fire and Ice?
Like, well, Fire, you know, DeMarcus is like
a fiery
hothead.
Personality. Yeah. No
Anthony's cool as ice. I get it. All right. I see.
Sounds like a Dairy Queen delicious treat.
And Anthony Davis breaking the All Star scoring record set by Will Chamber back in 62.
He won the MVP
in New Orleans. And then great news at the end of that night was getting DeMarcus Cousins, but now we are back into full swing NBA mode.
How about the reaction? Did you see the reaction from Boogie finding out he got traded?
Oh, yeah.
We don't know for sure, but it looked like that's how he found out. Interesting. All right. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
On with the questions. I love New Orleans. What a beautiful town. Man, Sacramento's a hole.
Yeah, but he had his little bit, too, where he was crying in front of the Sacramento fans.
No, I don't think that was a bit. I think that was
real.
Yeah,
for sure.
That was real.
Yeah? You don't believe those were crocodiles?
Boogie gets a really bad rap for his on-the-court stuff, but off the court, the guy was phenomenal for Sacramento. People loved him there. So.
I just feel bad for Sacramento. The guys have gone through and lost it. And yeah, I don't know if it's management, the new arena.
It's definitely management.
I don't think it's all Vladdy's fault, though. You can't give it all to Divac.
Well, all the coaching switches, the owner switch in between.
It's
been a real mess. But yeah, All-Star break is done. The trade deadline has passed. The Warriors have clinched a playoff spot for a fifth straight year, the earliest playoff berth in NBA history. Wow. They broke their previous record by 2 days. That's crazy. To no one's surprise, they're 49-9.
Oh, is that what's happening here? Okay,
that's what happened. Also in Warrior News, Draymond's comments to Paul Pierce, were they disrespectful?
They definitely were disrespectful, but that's what the intention was for Draymond. I think the crazier thing is what Draymond did earlier and almost kicked Griffin in the head, and I think he ended up hitting him in the shoulder or whatever. That's another Draymond thing. But, I mean, I'm not a big Paul Pierce guy, so I was loving it.
I thought it was funny, but it was definitely disrespectful. You can't disrespect
a legend of the game
like that.
Yeah, you are.
I like Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce has won a championship, a finals MVP, first-time All-Star.
12-time All-Star.
Exactly.
One of the players of his generation, for sure. One of the better wings of his generation, for sure.
No, it's true.
Coming up big down the stretch, hit big shots throughout his whole career. Obviously, he's killed the Raptors in playoff series.
Yeah, as a Net and a Wizard.
I called game.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, Pierce has had his thing and had his day, and I think that Draymond was just beefing him, and I think it was no big deal. Like, it's fine. But then, of course, Pierce answered him back with a Twitter meme that's been happening this whole year, obviously blowing the 3-1 lead. I think, like, Pierce has got to be more creative. I don't think Pierce isn't very good at Twitter.
Yeah, he probably had somebody help him with that.
Yeah, remember him tweeting a picture of the rocket ship emoji?
Like, he doesn't know that you have the emoji keyboard.
I love the meme from the All-Star game of him, like, looking at one phone using the other one, and it was like he's using the magnifying tool to read text because he's so old. See, that's not disrespectful. That's just funny. But I think for Draymond to do it on the court, like, man, show some respect. Paul Pierce is a legend. There's five or six guys with a resume like him in the whole NBA. This is his Kobe moment, his final
tour.
Yeah. He didn't use the whole season to do it either, you know. He didn't milk this for everything it's worth.
No, he's been hurt.
So, it's true.
Or he's getting DNP's coach's decision.
Yeah, What's going on in LA, though? I mean, come on, you guys.
No, yeah, I know he's from there.
These guys do is they just hype up all these retiring players.
Yeah,
come on,
exactly.
Now, let's get to basketball.
But, like, I don't know. I think at one point, Draymond could get to the level Pierce is at now. I think we could... Especially if he sticks.
Only defensively. I mean, he doesn't really have a huge offensive game.
But I mean, just like as far as getting more championship.
I see Draymond as an All NBA guy eventually, for sure. Like right up into the first team, though. He could be. He's got that talent.
And he's had a triple double without the points. Remember that earlier this year. So technically, he can get a quadruple double,
like a Hakeem triple double.
Yeah. Remember, you can get a hold of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com. Like
Gordie
us on
Howell
Facebook.
Hat trick, maybe?
Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at basketball. On Instagram at the3nikki. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check out our website, the3inthekey.ca. Today's program, we talked about the Warriors clinching a playoff spot. Draymond's comments, were they disrespectful? Yes. Were they funny? Also yes.
Yes is the answer for both.
Yeah, for me at
least. That's the truth. Really.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
The home stretch of games before the postseason, we'll get into that in the deadline winners and losers before the NBA postseason starts in about a month and a half. We'll speak with Chuck Anderson, co-host of the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, to get his take on that, and maybe some players that have benefited or some teams have benefited from not trading their superstars. We heard lots of rumors of Paul George and Jimmy Butler around the deadline.
Stay put.
Linked to Boston. So a whole bunch of that coming up with him later on in the program. But back to Cousins for a second. Vlade Divac has made some comments that I just want to put out there.
Right.
He says that he feels the team is better off after the trade. He says the team's going to be in a better position in 2 years. 2 years is a very short amount of time because they really didn't. They got like what, a bag of fruits and Buddy Hield. And
well, of course they're going to be better in 2 years. I mean,
yeah, they're
going to
be
drafting.
Worse?
They really like Buddy Hield. Apparently, he liked him in the draft too, and he was pissed off they didn't get him.
Man,
yeah,
I
and
love
the owner
a guy who shoots
40%. Was kept saying we're going to get you. I don't think you should be saying that to a player when he comes and plays in your building on the opposite team. You can't be telling me we're going to come after you or
this
we're going to trade for you.
Friggin' out to lunch.
Yeah,
though.
There's a lot of red flags there.
But yeah, but Buddy Hield must feel like
obviously good that he was wanted and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's going there. Basically, they're giving him the keys.
I'd feel a lot better if I wasn't going to Sacramento. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah, but it's like they're giving him the keys to this franchise when in New Orleans. He would have been a very solid second or third option, obviously behind Anthony Davis, and if Jrue Holiday
he was just
stayed.
Not working out. I picked him for Rookie of the Year like a dope.
Well, I mean,
no,
look,
I picked Chris Dunn. I said Buddy Hield would finish
Dunn's
second.
Not doing well,
you look what
yeah.
he did last year.
Well,
though.
He's not getting
I mean,
the minutes.
Oklahoma,
oh, yeah, we'll
Oklahoma's been garbage this season. They're not a tournament team. And last year, with essentially the same roster, but with Buddy Hield, this team was. They were a one seed in the tournament or a two seed in the tournament. So, like, this guy did it all by himself last year. I thought Buddy Hield was ready to step into the NBA and make a difference. Yeah. I figured he was steal the starting job from Tyreek Evans in New Orleans and be a really good player, but it just hasn't worked out that way. But he's a first-year player. He's still going to be a good player. Is he the next Steph Curry? No.
Yeah,
hell
yeah.
No.
But you said that, like, even, like, now this kind of shies away on looking at seniors. And maybe shying away from people that just get hot in tournaments, you know?
That's true.
But no, he was hot all season, to,
yeah,
right,
he was
to
scoring
be fair.
A lot.
Speaking
he
of
was
hot
scoring
seniors,
a lot.
Frank Kaminsky last night, 23-13-3-2. How about that? Whoa. So, hey, the story's not out on Buddy Hield because Frank Kaminsky's turning out good performances.
Yeah,
finally.
That's true. Well, yeah, I mean, he had
in
his
second
time
year.
With Wisconsin.
Yeah. It takes some time, right?
The biggest thing that I take away from Divac's comments is that he said if he's right, that's great. If not, he'll step down. And if he goes down, he's going down his way.
He might not have the chance. They might just lop him off eventually. I mean, how much of this can you really put up with as an organization? 2 days ago, I had a better deal. That's garbage, man. That's bush
league.
Well,
he was saying that just to get the heat off of him. Because like
oh,
I said,
great.
Yeah,
good business move.
Yeah, because I don't think he wanted – he just didn't want it to –
heat's off of him
but
now.
But let's be
sure.
real. This is – the only way they build is through the draft, getting high draft picks, because there's absolutely no way.
But they draft
agent,
terribly. The only good player they've drafted in the last 10 years is Boogie.
It's true.
Come on, Nick Stauskas.
Ben
McLemore
hasn't done much.
Papa Giannis. I mean, this guy may be good, but
Scalabrice.
Holly Stein had a good night the first day.
Cauley Stein had a good performance, but they kept drafting big men after they had Cousins.
You knew it was eventually going to happen. They had to move this guy. Or they package
Malachi
up a bunch
Richardson,
of...
who's hurt right now out of Syracuse, they also picked him up. So we'll see how they end up. They're still battling for a playoff position in the West. And we'll see how it goes. But definitely, to me, the winners of this deal were the New Orleans Pelicans. I think we can all agree on that.
A little bit.
Some other trades that happened. Dave, you wanted to touch on players that will blossom after players being traded from their team. For example, Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon, for sure. This is a guy that I think is going to take the step the way he should have at the beginning of this year, had the Magic not signed every big man available in free agency. They make this move with the Raptors. Ibaka comes out. Gordon becomes the number one power forward on the team, exactly where he should be. He should not be taking minutes at the three, unless they're throwaway minutes, just to see what he can do athletically, because he's not a good floor stretcher. He should be playing at the four, showcasing his athleticism, and you know, driving and setting up Vucevic, and that's what he should be doing, and he's finally in a position where he can actually thrive. He didn't look great in the first game, but... it's going to come around for this guy. He's a super talented player.
Yeah, third year in the league?
Second. Yeah, second. Third?
Okay.
Third.
Out of Arizona. Yeah, no, but you don't think him having a poor performance in the slam dunk contest will affect him going forward here as a player?
As long as he doesn't have that mascot giving him the ball on fast breaks, he's okay.
Or a drone or
a
anything.
A drone, true.
Yeah.
I think he was actually flying that drone, too.
Okay. Well, yeah. As long as that doesn't affect him, I think that's fine. I mean... I feel bad for this Magic team, but getting rid of Ibaka, to Toronto, and I mean, that's the other team that definitely won the trade deadline for sure. I Magic going forward, I think, is another team that's just got to slowly pace and work around. But if there's the guy to do it, it's got to be Aaron, and it's got to be Fogle teaching them.
For sure.
And Terrence Ross going to Orlando from Toronto, he had 24 points and 4 rebounds in their win over Atlanta. So he's going to get more minutes, obviously shoot the ball more for that Magic team, something that they lacked.
He's finally going to get a chance to be the go-to guy at his position on the team. Like, the only other guy that would really push for minutes there, you've got Fournier and Hezonja. But, I mean, Ross is going to get lots of minutes in Orlando. So it's good to finally see Ross in a starting role.
Right.
We saw Nerlens go to the Mavs.
I think he'll shine there.
He will, for sure. He's and a stat stuffer already.
I don't get that trade, honestly.
For the Sixers?
Yeah, they traded him for nothing.
For sure.
Well, Colangelo doesn't like him, evidently.
Just another 20 pick, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to get great value out of that.
I thought Okafor would be the big man to move out of Philly. There's lots of chatter surrounding
his name. But there
weren't
a lot of teams looking for him, right? They didn't want to give anything up for him.
I don't understand. You can't play Okafor next to Embiid.
No.
Oh, you could play Noel next to Embiid, although they only played, I think it was like 20 minutes together or something like that. They haven't really played much alongside each other, but I think he'll blossom in Dallas quickly. Our winners and losers of the deadline, for me, Pelicans and Raptors won. Losers, it's tough, but
Sacramento probably.
Sacramento and probably Philly. And you can make an argument for the Celtics, but you can also make an argument for the Celtics as being winners.
Yeah, it depends on which side you fall on.
Perspective, right? And like, another one that could be in there for not making a trade is Indiana. I think Indiana not either giving some George something to work with, or even vice versa, not trading him somewhere before he leaves. Because I feel like now he's 100% going to leave, whether it be L.A. or somewhere else. I think it's time for George to get out of here.
Summer is going to be exciting for the NBA around the draft. Draft time, especially the draft lottery. Once we find out who's picking first, who's picking second and whatnot, when that order fills, wherever Boston falls, either they keep the pick and they draft a young star. In this loaded draft. And then they have money to go out and sign someone as well. And they have all these young pieces and assets that they are slowly building. Look at the way you can say the Celtics won at the deadline too. Is like they're second in the East. They're winning with the team they have. Let's just keep going and see how far we can go with this team without, you know, blowing up the future or trading these assets. And then if we really need to, we have them, and then we can flip them in superstars and become even better. They just signed Horford to a 4-year deal. They all have Isaiah Thomas. They'll extend him for sure. He's proven his worth.
You'll have your Hayward in the litter too, for sure. Yeah.
Hayward,
that's right.
Butler has been
Brad Stevens' guy.
Butler's name has been all around the Celtics for the past year.
You mentioned
year.
Butler, though. I think that one of the big losers of the deadline was the Chicago Bulls. You look at the moves they did make, and I don't think that they fit the team well. To bring in a guy like Cameron Payton to trade real assets like Doug McDermott, who obviously hasn't worked out well in Chicago, but he's a shooter on a team where no one can shoot. Nobody. And you trade away Taj Gibson, who's the character guy in that team. We look at all the flawed characters in Chicago, namely Rajon Rondo. Taj Gibson's the glue guy holding everybody together. Trade him to Oklahoma City for Cameron Payne. You've got 7 point guards on that team. It doesn't make sense to me. Unless he is for sure going to be the guy you want to go to, and you're going to say no to Jaren Grant, and you're going to say no to Carter Williams and Rondo. All these guys are going to sit on the bench behind Payne. It's a bad move. And then you have an opportunity to get the Brooklyn's pick.
Yeah.
For Jimmy Butler, and to really turn things around in an incredible draft year where you can go and get a starting point guard at this year's draft instead of drafting somewhere in the middle of the pool, building around Butler, who we don't even really know wants to be there. I think it was a blown opportunity for the Bulls not to do something.
But they were probably asking for too much from Boston. We all know Danny Ainge apparently wanted to keep that pick and still land a superstar, which would have been probably the greatest move ever.
Of course.
If he can do that, because that puts him in a chance to win a championship.
But I also heard that there was no interest in moving Jake Crowder. Like, what are you hoping to do? Like,
keep everyone.
Rozier and Kelly Olynyk for a pick.
There was rumor that they didn't even want to trade Rozier for Ibaka. So Before we head to break, we quickly want to mention Ben Simmons will be out for the year. He's not playing.
Yeah.
I think we kind of saw that coming. It's usually what happens with top picks in Philly these years. They do a red shirt. Ben Simmons redshirting this year. Noel redshirted a year as well. Embiid redshirted 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think they're just on par with. I just feel bad for. Hopefully, the next kid that they draft is not going to have to redshirt.
What are they doing in practice before the season starts? Where these guys are getting so smoked early, or even who's doing the MRIs in Philly? Where they're like,
yeah,
he could start tomorrow, or he could start never. So
hey, it's flip a coin.
I'm looking at the foot right now.
You know what though? They fixed Embiid finally. It took a while, and hopefully by the time
Qatar a few times.
Hopefully by the time Ben Simmons is back, they've shipped out Okafor, so there's actually a place for him to play.
Yeah.
Because Ben Simmons is 6'10", 240 pounds. He does not belong in the backcourt. He's a frontcourt player.
Yeah, he'll start at the 3 for them, but he's going to be the primary ball handler.
I think he's a 4 when it's all said and done. I look at him like Chris Webber, for sure. Big man, rebound getter, passer, everything.
Way better than Weber, probably.
Well, we'll see. I mean, hey, ask Chris Weber that. He'll tell you he's the best of all time. So,
of course.
let us know what you guys think. Winners, losers of the trade deadline. Do you guys want to apply to be the doctor in Philly?
Well, yeah, I'd be into that.
Yeah, you can do some MRIs for them.
I'd be all right with it.
The3Nikki at gmail.com. On Facebook at 3Nikki. On Twitter at BasketPod. Instagram, The3Nikki. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. The website is the3inthekey.ca. We'll be back with Chuck Anderson, co-host of the Fast Break Breakfast Podcast, next on 3 in the Key.
Just how competitive are you? How much does that go into everything that you do?
About 17 technical words.
You see what kind of talent he has. He is definitely tops in the league in talent and ability.
It'll be Harden. He's going to get there. And blocked away by DeMarcus Cousins. Second block of the game, and that's after Harden kind of went into his path.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the key. Elias in alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. We are now joined by Chuck Anderson, co-host of the Fast Break Breakfast Podcast. Thanks for joining us, Chuck.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not much. Obviously, the week of the NBA was the All-Star wrapping up, and then the trade deadline has just passed. No major trade on deadline day itself, but obviously we saw DeMarcus Cousins get moved right after the All-Star game, and Ibaka before that. To you, who were the winners and losers of the deadline, and why?
The winners were, for sure, New Orleans and Toronto, as you mentioned, Ibaka and Boogie moving. The losers, and I know probably my biggest loser of this trade deadline is Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City basically traded Ibaka for, you know, nothing at this. I mean, I like Oladipo. I think that's a good pickup for them, but Ibaka could have been something else playing in Oklahoma City now with, you know, Taj Gibson. And I really like the McBuckets pickup, but Oklahoma City just not.
They didn't do what it takes to get past that, you know, mediocre in the West kind of thing. And I don't think that's a good look for them if they're trying to keep Westbrook long term.
So you mentioned the Raptors having a big year. We're based in Canada here, and obviously
I thought I smelled poutine.
Yeah, a little bit, eh?
We always eat it.
It wafts all the way down there. So some big moves by the Raptors. You mentioned them being one of the winners. We agree here on the show, obviously. Getting Tucker and obviously Serge Ibaka, a big difference maker in the post. Do you think that the Raptors are poised to compete in the East now? Do you think they have a chance to maybe take a run at the Cavs?
Well, I think that depends on Ibaka playing a little better defense than he has so far this year. You know, I know his rim protection numbers aren't as elite as they have been in years past, and that may be from the fact that he was one of 8 power forwards on that Magic roster.
Yeah.
But he, if he can shore up the defense for the Raptors, I think that could be, you know, a huge step in getting the Raptors past the Cavs. Now, will they? Now, looking at the Cavs roster with Deron Williams, and I'm not 100% sure. PJ Tucker is going to be a great guy to pester LeBron and hopefully help him cramp up in fourth quarters of games.
Yeah. Crank that heat up.
He doesn't get hurt, just cramps.
But I think, he probably needs to eat more ripe bananas.
Yeah, more ripe.
If he's going to play basketball late in the fourth quarter. But no, I think...
Wait, are you telling us to pause? Or?
That's great.
I think wing help and interior defense was what Toronto needed, and Masai got the people that he could get. And, they're in better position now, for sure, than they were before the Ibaka trade.
Now looking towards the west side, similar situation for Houston. They make a move, and now are they the biggest threat, adding Lou Williams to the Golden State Warriors and San Antonio Spurs in the west?
I still have them as the third best team in the west, and they've been that way for a minute in my eyes. Just the fact that they're going to be able to score 130 a game in the playoffs, I mean, kind of gives them a chance, but I don't trust them defensively, and I think when the ball starts slowing down come playoff time, they're not going to be able to do the kind of things that require it for a championship. You know, you need a top 10 defense, and I don't see them pulling that together by the end of the year. So they're going to be fun. I think that you're going to see, if you see the Warriors and Rockets play, you might see, you know, a 300-point total game score in a game or two series.
Which would be crazy in a playoff series, thinking about it, because obviously that time of year is when the ball slows down. It's more half-court offense, a lot of defense being played. But these two teams obviously love to shoot the three-point shot and get out in transition. We are in the home stretch of the NBA season. Teams have about 24, 25 games remaining before the start of the playoffs. We talked a bit about the East, and it's probably still the Cavs to lose with the rumor that Deron Williams is going to be joining them. We mentioned the Raptors as a challenger. Do you think they're the biggest challenge to the Cavs, or do you think maybe Boston or even Washington have a chance to dethrone the Cavaliers or get close to it?
I mean, I honestly think the only thing that will stop the Cavs is, you know, some sort of injury to one of the big three. As far as a threat goes, I think Boston defensively is not going to be able to keep Cleveland, you know, in check. Washington still, while I like the team, and I think Wall and Beal on a given night can play to the level of, LeBron and Kyrie, not consistently, but they can put out performances like that. As far as output and efficiency, Washington's lacking, I think, a third threat that would, you know, kind of, while Otto Porter is great, I just don't think he's the guy that you can count on in a playoff series to contribute the way you'd need to beat the Cavs. So, yeah, there are holes with all of the, you know, underling teams out east, you know, when in doubt, go with the champs because they got the hardware. And I think the Cavs probably going to walk through the East pretty easily this year.
So we've talked about some of the guys that did switch teams at the deadline this year. How about some of the players that did not switch teams? We're talking Carmelo Anthony, Jimmy Butler, Paul George. You think any of these teams blew it by not trading their superstars? Like, look at Paul George. This is a guy that's talking about maybe leaving and going to the Lakers. In the future, he wants to be a part of the Lakers organization, team he grew up following. Did the Pacers really blow it not trading him, or is this maybe the Bulls' opportunity to blow it up and they blew it? What do you think? What team didn't make the move?
I would have liked to see Chicago, you know, kind of do something. Larry Bird is very confident in his ability to keep Paul George, which may be a little presumptuous on his side. But you got to go with value, and you also want to keep a winning culture, and that's what they, you know, they want their fans in Indiana to be happy in Hoosier country. So it's I don't think any – I think if I had to say I wish they would have made a move, it would have definitely been Chicago. I think not moving – we didn't bring these guys up, but Philly not moving Ja Okafor is kind of surprising to me. And the fact that they gave away Nerlens for nothing,
yeah,
when people were begging – well, it seemed like Okafor was someone a lot of teams were interested in, was a little disappointing. But yeah, I think all those teams, they kind of have the you can be smart and blow the team up long term while still kind of maintaining a happiness in your fan base. And I think in Indiana, you got to have that. You can't just trade away a team and blow that team up and expect to tank and keep your fan base in a city like Indianapolis. So yeah, they're all doing it, but it's. The slow rebuild is, I think, the new vogue.
Now, after the move for Boogie, Sacramento still in contention for a spot for the eighth spot anyway.
For now,
and then for now, New Orleans 0-2 with Boogie. In your estimation, who do you think is the best shot to get that eighth spot, or do we keep it with Denver going into the West?
If I had to bet, I'd bet on the team with two of the five best big men in the game, especially now with the league kind of zigging towards, you know, small ball, you know, kind of weird lineups where no true centers are playing nowadays. To kind of zig when everyone else is zagging is something to consider big picture. But New Orleans roster outside of those two guys and Holiday is just they're like traveling vacuum salesmen on that team. And while I like Denver, Jokic is the truth. They're not, I just don't know what, if they have the experience to kind of push through and win those games when they count towards the end of the season. Sacramento is an abject failure as an organization, maybe the worst franchise in all of sports, period, and that's including
right
the
up
XFL.
There.
Yeah.
They had a CFL team too.
Yeah, I mean they I don't see them winning the requisite games to get into the playoffs. So if I had to pick one, I'm probably going to go with the superstar talent. With the big men and Boogie and Brow.
Yeah, okay, because Portland's involved too still. Dallas now with the move with New Orleans there, like you could. There's some
it's
some new
gonna be
faces.
Interesting. Everybody's fighting for the eighth seed or the 30th seed. So it's it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Or even Miami looking for an eighth spot still too.
Oof, and it is a sad thing for me to say, but every time they won in that win streak, it made my heart kind of cry just a little bit.
One step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you go, oh, this is great. It's one of the most stocked draft classes in a long time. And we're doing, a historically ridiculous win streak when we were cruising to a top five pick.
Maybe a justice will tumble to you again, you know? Maybe you guys will strike gold twice in that,
man,
like, 10-12
so.
Range.
If you're from your mouth to Red Auerbach's ears.
Speaking with Chuck Anderson, co-host of the Fast Break Breakfast podcast. Chuck, there was other moves, too, that happened, not just between players, but in management and Laker world. Magic taking over as the president of basketball operations, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss gone. He brings in Rob Pelinka as the GM. What does this mean for LA moving forward, and was it a good hire for them?
I mean, I think it's a little early to tell. I think the only thing I could pull from this trade deadline and Magic's, you know, competency was that he didn't sell every asset to get Paul George, which I could have seen happening, you know, a la Carmelo in Denver. where, you know, the rumor starts, he wants to go home. Next thing you know, the Knicks are sending everything that they had valuable that made Carmelo want to play there to Denver. And the Lakers didn't do that. I think they can stand pat. It's good for them to suck now because of the dominance at the top of the West. As far as like opportunity cost, if you want to take, you know, economics into it, it's a good time to be bad for the Lakers. So I like the fact that Magic did nothing really at the trade deadline short of moving Lou Williams, which might help their chances at getting a better pick anyway. So yeah. I do like what's happening so far in LA just by their lack of really trying to do anything blockbustery, you know.
And that pick is top three protected, so the more losses they can pile up, the better for the franchise. Thanks again to you, Chuck Anderson, co-host of the Fast Break Breakfast Podcast, for joining us here on 3 in the Key.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Most likely we will get less because I had a better deal 2 days ago.
Than what you got now?
Yep.
And then you had a better offer for Cousins two days ago?
Talk to those agents, please. What they say.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. Great conversation there with Chuck Anderson.
Yes, sir. That was awesome.
That was great.
Real good.
Now it's time for insert.
Insert!
Yes, we're back. And you better believe a swish or miss is better than ever. Now, we got the post-deadline, swish or miss. We kind of talked about it, we did talk about most of the trade deadline stuff all
did
pod.
Did we ever?
Did we ever? But I still think we can squeeze out as much as we can here. Now, this isn't really a swish or miss question. It's kind of either or, pick your poison type of deal. But let's go, because of the trade deadline, talking so much about these two and Boston being involved, swish or miss, either or, who would you prefer to have on your team, Jimmy Butler or Paul George?
Good question.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's...
You want to go first, Dave?
I could tackle this one, I guess. If I'm the Celtics and I'm trading the house for one of these guys, if I'm the Celtics or if I'm anybody.
Right.
Okay, for, you know...
Anybody, if you're yourself, you.
I think I'd go Paul George. I like Paul George.
I can't disagree.
He's super talented wing. He can play the 3 and the 4. He could probably play the 2. He can stretch the floor from everywhere. He can shoot from everywhere. He's an offensive superstar, shut down defensive player. Not unlike Butler. You're kind of picking between two really, really good situations here. Yeah. Similar players.
Yeah. I just think I give the edge to Butler defensively.
I would say so.
PG is definitely the scorer here. The funny thing is they both came into league. Well, one, George came in 2011, but he had that year off, obviously, with the injury.
Yeah.
And then Butler came in a year after out of Marquette. So there's they have similar numbers. They're easy because the only thing is I think Paul George has like a full season ahead of him. And so like, this year, Butler's had the better year. I think even on that dysfunctional Bulls team. And it seems like George has got a bit of a step back after Fogle leaving and bringing in the slower offense that McMillan's done.
I will say, though, that Paul George is in a team where there are other guys getting touches, whereas I think Butler being in Chicago, he's their go-to guy every single game. He's the guy that's going to get the ball in his hands. He's going to get the rock in all the important moments, whereas Paul George has got to share with Miles Turner and Jeff Teague. There are better players on Indiana's roster. That's kind of taking away a little bit from Paul George.
Yeah.
But I will say that Paul George seems like he may have regressed a little bit this season. Jimmy Butler, he just keeps getting better every year. He's a guy that a couple years ago was second round pick. You know what I mean? He was a good, really good role player, young player with potential, and all of a sudden he's a superstar that teams are coveting.
Butler was picked with the 30th pick, so right about the second round. Paul George, obviously a lottery pick, 10th overall by the Pacers. I think the way he took, you said he took a step back this year or has regressed. with all the new faces around and stuff
new
like
coaching,
that. And
for
new
sure.
coaching. And at the beginning of the year, they were too. He even said publicly that there was a lot going on and stuff like that. So he wasn't really focusing on basketball. But I would pick Paul George as well. And you can make an argument that he is the better defender. He's been on all defensive first team, and he's been an all defensive second team twice. He was the most improved player, 4-time All-Star, 3 All-NBA third teams. I don't know if he'll be an All-NBA player this year, Paul George.
Nah.
Jimmy Butler probably makes his first All-NBA team.
And good
he's
for him.
He's been on 3 defensive second teams and probably makes another defensive team. But, you know, Paul George, I think, is better on offensively than Jimmy Butler. And I think you can make the case for him defensively, but right now it's probably the edge goes to Butler on the defensive side. But overall, I would pick Paul George.
Right now, just recency bias, him being on my fantasy team, I love Butler. So, and it's interesting. I don't know who would be better for the Celtics, like you said, Dave, but I'd probably go with PG with this for the Celtics. But.
You mentioned, I got to give you credit, Macklin, because you mentioned Butler earlier in the year in our season preview. You said this is a guy that's going to have a huge year.
Right.
And we talked so much smack about Chicago being a garbage team.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's going to take a step back. But you nailed it that Wade and Butler would have good years.
Well, I mean, those off-season moves were so... We don't even know what they're doing still, even after this trade with Taj Gibson. So
I feel bad he didn't get traded, to be honest, for Jimmy Butler.
It's funny, but they can beat a Cavs team without LeBron, so it's like they're not totally hopeless. It's funny how this Bulls team is sometimes winning, and they're on the bubble for a playoff spot all the time. Let's go trade talk questions here. This is just a fun one because I know going back to Elias talking about Stern, but if Commissioner Stern was still the commissioner, and let's say owned New Orleans still, would he have passed this Boogie and a Boogie trade to New Orleans?
Well, if the NBA still owned them, they better have not, because they denied Chris Paul going to the Lakers for a better package.
Yeah.
So if they still owned it and that went through, I would be very, very upset.
Yeah. So, like, you think that he's probably, I guess.
Still a little upset over that. Yeah,
Dave's looking at me like.
A little hurt feelings.
A little salty.
Yeah.
No, I think.
Pepper, maybe?
Perhaps. I think he would have to deny the trade just because of what you said. Just because of that would look so bad if he did.
The Lakers were giving up Odom and Gasol in a 3-team deal with the Houston Rockets. Gasol
right.
going to Houston, Odom going to New Orleans, and Houston was sending a couple of guys to New Orleans as well. And they denied that one, and then they sent him over to the Clippers for, I mean, you can make the argument, maybe not as good as a return. None of those guys that they got are still there, so...
Yeah, well, that's how it works with superstars sometimes, though. You see these trades happen, and often one team, the team that gets the superstar looks great, and the other team, look at Carmelo Anthony. I mean, well, actually, no, they did quite well in that trade, as it turns out, but...
Yeah, Denver did.
It's kind of funny, though, you know what I mean? It's kind of a 50-50 split whether or not the team's going to be happy with their return. I don't know. I think it's a good trade. I don't think that it puts either team in a position where they're going to be phenomenal coming out of this trade, or I think it actually kind of hurts both teams in the short term, and eventually maybe Sacramento can find a new superstar to build around. Maybe Buddy Hield's that guy.
Maybe
probably
he is.
Not, but maybe he is.
Maybe
Vivek
he is.
Seems to think so, and I don't know. I think that New Orleans is definitely gonna do something well with these
two
players.
Well, let's stick with New Orleans then, and I think this is a big one for you, Dave. Should New Orleans switch your missed call? Coach Cal, to coach the two ex-Kentucky players. The only guy that seemed to really, you know, listen to Cal was Boogie.
Yeah.
That's the only time he'd ever listened. So we switch or miss Cal coaching this New Orleans team.
Well, I think New Orleans should make the call. They'd be stupid not to. Look what he did with Anthony Davis. Took him all the way, a one-and-done freshman, all the way to the national championship. One of the best teams in college basketball history. Another one of the best college basketball teams ever was Boogie's team with John Wall and Eric Bledsoe. I mean, this guy gets the best out of superstars. So I think that they'd be stupid not to ask. I don't think Cal will accept I think Cal's pretty happy cranking out 5 or 6 5-stars every year. Yeah. And now he's the new coach of the under 19 team, which is a really good way for him to start recruiting even better.
Actually, conflict of interest to me.
Nah, whatever. They all have a conflict of interest. Sean Miller had the gig last year, right? And you look at Arizona's team, they're loaded with 5-stars. So I don't think it's conflict of interest. It's you're hiring a coach to make your team win a championship, right?
Yeah.
I just think that if Mike Krzyzewski isn't available, John Calipari is the next best guy, period.
Yeah, but I just think that from a guy who's been known
it's only
to
a conflict of interest because it's Cal, though. Come on now.
Definitely, because he's
so
used
good
this
already.
System for his advantage or whatever, so he
but
knows.
But he uses the same system as every other college coach.
Right,
he's just better at it.
No, he just happens to have also one of the most prestigious college.
Agreed.
I mean, it was different.
It's awesome.
It was harder recruiting when he was at Memphis. It's harder to recruit when you were
it's
at
true.
UMass. You know,
yeah, Mass, yeah.
It's true. Now he's the king of recruiting.
I don't think he's leaving Kentucky, though. I think if he comes to the NBA, it's for a perfect situation.
Yeah, no, that's totally
fair. Maybe if Boogie went to Washington to go play alongside John Wall and you had that reunited and it feels so good kind of moment.
Yeah.
Then maybe they swing a trade to get Eric Bledsoe and we got this fantastic little Kentucky bluegrass reunion. It'd be real nice.
It would be hard for Cal to say no to that.
Oh, of course.
Now let's go back to the All-Star game. And we didn't touch on it because we recorded right before the game started. So, but a lot of storylines came out of there. You mentioned AD getting the MVP. But how about Westbrook and Durant having an alley-oop? Now, does this squash the beef? You can see
wasn't
that.
Wasn't that nice to see?
It was cool.
It was nice. It was as fresh.
A beautiful place too.
It was really looked awesome. And it's like they played together. And like they had this...
for like 6 or 7 years,
more or less.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, exactly. And Westbrook seemed to be okay with Kerr. Like he likes Kerr a lot on the bench, and which is funny. So they got together. But does this squash the beef, or are we still going to carry over?
So maybe Westbrook to Golden State in the future. Is that what you're getting at here?
I think so. I think Kerr maybe / recruiting that All-Star game.
True.
I don't know. Was there ever a real beef, or did the media make it a beef? Did everyone on social media make it a beef when they left each other? Because as soon as he left, obviously Durant left and said, this is a better decision basketball-wise for me, right? Yeah. To go and play with this team if it's my style and all that. And then everyone just took it the other way and be like, oh my God, he can't play with Westbrook. It didn't work. They went to a finals and 4 Western Conference finals in the time they were together, but for some reason, they can't play together or they hate each other.
Yeah.
And then in the All-Star game, they lobbed it to each other or whatnot, and Westbrook dunked it and everyone on the sideline was cheering, which was nice to see.
Curry, my God!
Yeah, but I think it's a bigger issue for people like us, you know, blowing it out of proportion. Although, you know, as a competitor, you want to always go against the guy that's in a different jersey.
Sure, compare yourself to someone.
Exactly, and be better and get the win, obviously. Does it squash the beef?
Nah.
Was there even a beef? I don't know. Like, next time they play each other, it's still going to be crazy. I think the fans will still boo KD.
That's exactly
And Westbrook is still going to go full throttle at Golden State.
Is there a beef? Yes. Is it maybe played up bigger than it actually is? I'm sure it is. I'm sure Russell Westbrook's doing his Instagram little nips on purpose just because he knows this is going to drum up publicity. This couldn't be better for the NBA because everybody is watching a matchup that isn't even a real matchup. I'm going to watch that game at the edge of my seat knowing that the Warriors are going to win. I don't think that Westbrook's going to put up 75 and they're going to win that game. I think it's going to be a 30-point blowout like it has been every time this season.
I'm
still going to watch because it's compelling basketball because of everything happening off the court right now.
Yeah.
And I want to see Westbrook. Westbrook wants to beat them. You could tell.
Oh yeah.
He wants to beat everybody. That guy would dunk on his grandmother. Like he doesn't
Definitely.
Care. He's an intense dude. And
you love that. And he's shown it this year with what is it now? 28 triple doubles.
Yeah, it's great for the league.
So silly. Yeah. many triple doubles. Okay, well guys, all right, moving on now. Hey. You guys love basketball. We love basketball.
A bit, yeah.
Do you guys have
I
any?
Think so.
Do you collect anything? I know you have a lot of Lakers stuff, Elias. Do you have anything signed or anything like that? Or
Oh, I don't think so. Nothing signed.
I like college basketball jerseys, but again, I don't have anything signed
nothing
yet.
Signed?
It's something I need to invest in, though.
I've never been a big signed guy, huge, but like, I mean, I like having like a picture or a jersey. We have lots of jerseys, of course. I have my Bryant Reeves jersey at home.
Sean Kemp.
And all that stuff.
The Rain Man.
But this Steiner Sports Memorabilia. It's the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. So this is an amazing site that you just, if you go through there, if you look, you're a big basketball guy, it's got everything for you.
Elias would like this place. They got a Kobe section.
Kobe, whole dedicated to the Mamba.
I'm gonna check it out.
Definitely check it out. You can go from every jersey, old school jersey. You got Larry Bird signed USA basketball jersey I'm looking at right now. You got Bill Walton, UCLA. It's on sale, actually.
There's not a lot of sweat on that Bird jersey. He didn't play a lot of minutes on that
team.
No,
he did not. The dream team, he was not really.
There's some like shine from the floor he was lying on that whole tournament.
Yeah, exactly. But there's so many guys you can just get a signed jersey, authenticated. It's awesome. There's a sale right now. You get off the 30%, 35%. And if you put in the promo code ALMIGHTY, on top of that, you'll get 20%, so maybe you can save up to 50-something percent. But, I mean, what would be a dream jersey for you, Dave, if you could get any college jersey signed or a player NBA professionally done, who would it be?
That's a tough call. Maybe it's a Boogie. Maybe it's
Boogie
a Boogie.
Pelicans.
No, I would go, I'd go Boogie Kentucky from back in the day, maybe. Or, like... Maybe just a jersey signed by Cal. I think that'd be pretty dope. He's my favorite
What's
player.
What's the number? Just the real Coach K?
Just one. Big one. But man, they got some topical stuff in here too. I see a Charles Oakley signed basketball.
Yeah.
With a footmark. He booted it across the court probably in the direction of James
There's
Dolan.
There's also one with James Dolan here too. Yeah. It's so weird that you could get one. But yeah, you could probably get a Kobe.
I mean, yeah, or a Magic Johnson one.
Yeah, Magic, that'd be nice, too.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That'd be sweet. I'm looking at this Bill Walton UCLA one I really like. Alonzo Mourning Hornets jersey. I used to have, actually, the Iverson Georgetown jersey when I was a kid. But it was not signed. But maybe I'll get it signed by him.
Otto Porter.
So many options. But yeah, so check out the site, guys. Stein Sports Memorabilia. Steiner check it out. Sports. Put in the promo code ALMIGHTY and 20% comes your way. Check it out.
That is great for all the collectors out there. Get it. Go visit the site and receive that 20% off. And, you know, go collect your jerseys, memorabilia, all that. That about does it for us on the program this week. Remember, you can get a hold of us anytime by email, the3nikki@gmail.com, on Facebook at 3nikki, on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram, the3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check out the website, 3nikki.ca. For Will Macklin and Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Elzain. Peace.
Winning a championship, take everything you got. Sacramento, they thought it was the year, but I'm telling you it's not. Vlade said if we don't have home court advantage, we won't win.
What?
Vlade, are you stupid? I'll tell you time again. You need to go when they know your name. And the Lakers, we ought to play the game. You said that we would win at your place. Guess what? Kobe dunked it in your face. You need to go where people know your name.